Thank you, Dr. Gray. Well, as he said, my name is Seth Berrios, and for my thesis proposal will be on changes in community characteristics associated with oak savanna restoration. To give you guys a rundown of how my presentation will be structured, I'll begin with the introduction, the justification, the purpose, my objectives, the study sites, then the experimental design and methods. Now, historically, oak savannas covered over 11 million hectares across the central and eastern North America. However, today, less than 1% of this range currently exists and is considered by most to be a critically endangered habitat. Three main reasons have been attributed as to its decline. The first being fire suppression. And beginning in about the 1920s, the U.S. Forest Service advocated fire suppression across the landscape, and much of this early successional habitat then grew up into what we can see today as forested landscapes. The second being agricultural development. Much of the oak savanna soils is similar to that in composition of the prairie soils, in which it is deep and rich in organic matter, which is conducive to agriculture. The third reason being urban development. However, this reason is to a lesser extent than the previous two. In this oak savanna habitat, there are many populations that are in decline. In eastern North America, there's about 128 disturbance-dependent bird species. However, there are about 21 of these that are associated with oak savannas, and 70% of them are in decline across the range. Now, when I say associated with, and much of the research that I've papers that I've read, there's been said that maybe there might not be any true savanna-specific species specialist. That they're more of a more generalist species, as either from a grassland or a forested habitat. Also, along with the avian species, is also the plant diversity. And many of these plants are full sunlight or partial sunlight dependent species, and are also dependent on disturbances such as fire. And with this lack of fire suppression in these areas, much of these species are being outcompeted by woody growth. Few studies have actually examined the changes in the vegetation and avian communities when fire and canopy removal treatments are implemented to restore an oak savanna. Two of these papers is the Bella et al. 2001 and the Nielsen 2003 papers, which examined oak savanna restoration using the canopy removal and fire treatments. However, these papers were conducted in the Great Lakes region of oak savanna habitat and not in the southern range of oak savanna. The purpose of my research is to determine the effects of fire and canopy removal treatments on the herbaceous, woody, and avian communities. For my objectives, I want to determine the grass, forb, and legume composition within each of these disturbance levels, determine the trends of focal species composition within each of these canopy and fire disturbances, and also to determine which disturbance level possibly optimizes native warm season grass coverage, if any. Also to evaluate the number of oak seedlings that are present within each of these disturbance levels, and determine the species composition of the shrubs within the disturbance levels. For the avian community, we'll be looking at determining the breeding bird use within each of these disturbance levels, and also to determine the species diversity within each of these disturbance levels. But then also to relate the general bird use to the habitat conditions present within each of these disturbance levels. There are three main study sites that have been determined for this study. The first one being at Catoosa Wildlife Management Area, located in Cumberland, Morgan, and Fentress counties in Tennessee, and is managed by the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency. The second being at Daniel Boone National Forest, located in McCreary, Whitley, Laurel and Pulaski counties in Kentucky and is managed by the U.S. Forest Service. The third site being at Land Between the Lakes National Recreation Area in Trigg County, Kentucky and Stewart County, Tennessee. And again, it is also managed by the U.S. Forest Service. Here you can see Catoosa in blue with the areas in yellow representing sites in Catoosa that are being restored into oak savanna. Here you can, this is a subsection of the entire Daniel Boone National Forest with the areas in yellow representing sites that are going to be restored into oak savanna. Here is a picture of what the Land Between the Lakes looks like, with the areas in yellow representing stands that are going to be restored into oak savanna habitat. For my methods, there will be 9 disturbance levels with 20 replicates each inside of those disturbance levels. There will be a control site, which will consist of a mature hardwood forest with some pine component in it. A burn-only site. A cut and unburned site. A cut and 3 burned site. A cut and 5 burned site, and also a cut and 5 burned site that is also had drum chopping involved within it. Each of these disturbance levels will be approximately 40 hectares in size. However, only the inner 20 hectares of each of these disturbance levels will be sampled for both the vegetation and the avian communities to avoid any edge effects that may occur. For the herbaceous vegetation, I'll be using 20 50-meter point intercept transects located throughout each disturbance level. And the focal species that I've identified will be identified at 1-meter intervals along that transect. Also, at each 1-meter interval, species will be identified as being either a grass, a forb, or legume to establish the composition of these within each disturbance level. And transects will be 100 meters apart. Here is a list of some of the focal species that I'll be looking at. It contains species within the grass, forb, legume, and some invasive species. For the woody vegetation objectives, I'll be using 20 plots per disturbance level, and they will be nested within the herbaceous transect. Seedlings will be counted by the species within a 1-meter square area at the plot center. And the shrubs and saplings will be counted by species within a 3-meter radius around plot center. The overstory trees and snags will also be tallied by 2-inch DBH classes within 11.3-meter radius around the plot center. And to get another form of basal area, I will be using a 10-factor prism. And then the canopy coverage will also be measured at the plot center using a spherical densiometer. This is to show you guys how this will be laid. The plots will be laid out with the overstory plots nested within the herbaceous transects and located 100 meters apart. For the avian community, I will be conducting point counts throughout the each disturbance level, and they will be located 250 meters apart. And all birds seen and heard within 3 distance intervals will be recorded during a 10-minute sampling period. And then all point counts will follow the standard point count protocol, such that no counting will be conducted under high winds or when precipitation is falling. For some of the possible analysis that I may use, we'll be looking at the Shannon's Diversity Index to determine the diversity of the shrubs and also the avian species. and also using an ANCOVA test to determine differences between each of these disturbance levels. And also a linear regression will be used to determine the relationships of these various canopy coverages to my dependent variables. Some of those dependent variables will consist of the grass composition, forb composition, legume composition, my focal species composition that I've determined, the number and species of seedlings, their shrub and sapling numbers and their composition, the number of snags, and also our avian species richness, and then also the avian species diversity. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge the contributors, my major advisor, Dr. Pat Kaiser, and my committee members. Thank you.
Questions, Jeff?
What is an oak savanna? How would you define it?
Well, most people, when they define oak savannas, the canopy coverage is highly variable. Some say it's, you know, as low as 10%. Some say it's high as 70% canopy coverage. But most concur that or agree that it's between a 10 and 50% canopy coverage with a robust herbaceous ground layer. That in one paper, most people say that it's grass dominated, but in one paper that I've read, they said that it's more of a forb-dominated ecosystem.
Seth, I wasn't sure, but it looked like, based on that distribution map showing the oak savannas, I wasn't sure if Catoosa and Daniel Boone were within that historic distribution, were they?
The question was, is Catoosa and Daniel Boone, are those two sites within that range? And no, I've looked at that. However, some of the response that they're getting from those, definitely at Catoosa, some of the response from the native warm season grass would make it appear that it had been within that. And I don't know if that figure is 100% accurate as to historical size of the oak savanna. Does that answer your question?
And somebody might question whether or not wise to restore something that might not have been there.
The question further was why would we not look at someplace within to restore that's within those the sites that figure showed? These three sites were have active oak savanna research and were at Catoosa, from what I can see of the response and the vegetation that they're getting out of some of those savanna sites, I would likely say that some of that was oak savanna historically just because of the grass and species composition that was there. So that's why I would think that Catoosa would have been within that. However, that figure might not have shown it.
So you're basing that based on the seed bank?
Yes.
Okay.
You have a question?
Seth, you mentioned that you want to use Shannon's diversity index to look at shrubs, bindweed, and vertically.
Mm-hmm. And the question is, why would I not use the diversity index on the herbaceous vegetation versus the shrub and avian species? Is that correct? The reason I was using those focal species is to look at how those within those disturbance levels, as that disturbance level those increase, how does it transition more towards a savanna-like state with more grasses and forbs? I guess the reason why I had chosen to not do all the species because I don't believe I'm as interested in taking some of the ephemeral species within those forested landscapes and seeing how they transition. I'm more interested in how does the herbaceous vegetation transition into that ultimate goal of a oak savanna.
Right, so why would you perform diversity analyses on the herbaceous species that you find? Especially given the fact that for some of the focal species, they might not even be present from site to site with varying seed banks.
That is correct. And I still may use a diversity index. This was more just a preliminary of what I'm thinking about using. But after this data collection, I may end up using the diversity index on it, on the herbaceous species.
Seth, are you going to record all herbaceous plant species? You kind of implied that you were just going to look for focal species.
Yeah, that's... it'd be the focal species, a list of the focal species. I'd identify those if they were present at that intercept, but also categorize all species at each point as being either grass, forb, or legume, so I can get the overall composition, but also gather the data on those focal species as to how they're comprising the disturbance level. So. As of right now, I'm looking at the focal species, but I may end up categorizing all species.
I mean, the lack of the focal species can be as informative as the presence of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the composition of a plant community outside those focal species could be pretty important.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Dr. Buckley, do you have a question?
Yeah, you talked about dependent variables being something like, herbaceous plant composition. And I was just curious, is that a qualitative measure or would it be percent cover?
It would be percent cover.
Percent cover forb versus percent cover.
Yeah, the question was, my response variable, say, for the grass, forb, or legume composition, that would be a percentage. Gathered over that, so it'd be, a 20% legume versus 30% grass.
So I was just curious about your point counts. You said you had 9 treatments,
mm-hmm.
with 20 replicates each.
The question is 20 or 9 treatments with 20 replicates. Mm-hmm. Within each of those disturbance levels, there's going to be 20 experimental units. However, because of the size of the bird points to with those distance intervals, you won't be able to put 20 of those in each of those disturbance levels. So it'll be, and I'm still looking at how many point counts will be adequate. But it looks like maybe 8 or 9 point counts will be able to be fitted within side of that treatment, that disturbance level. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, I was wondering how many point counts you were expecting to have to do during the season.
Quite a few.
It just seems like a lot of point counts would be necessary to cover all of those areas and all those different treatments.
Yeah. Yeah, but it looks like about 8 of those would be 8 or 9 will be able to, cover the entire area of each treatment. Tiffany.
With your treatment types, I wasn't confused as far as when it was being burned, like the site was burning 5 times
Yeah,
five
that. The question is a burning regime. Most of these sites, they're being burned, dormant season burning, and they've also, most of this burning has been taking place since 2000. So.
Any other questions? Let's give Seth a round of applause.